I've got your podcast right here.
You were going to change the channel, weren't you? Don't even think of it.
Last Radio Live.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. This is Last Radio Live. Keith Lake here for another installment of the podcast that dares not mention its name. A lot of stuff going on here today. We had a brief rain shower that lasted about 30 seconds, just enough to up the humidity a little bit. Just a little bit north of here, they had a big old thunderstorm, and they were telling me about hail the size of dice that was coming down over there. I guess we were on the edge of it. But you didn't come here to hear me talk about the weather, did you? No, of course not.
Bist du allein von allen Freunden verlassen, dann geh in die Stadt. Downtown, da wo das Leben überall in den Straßen so viel Lichter hat. Downtown, vergiss im bunten Neonschein die Stunden deiner Sorgen und hör die Großstadtmelodie bis in den frühen Morgen. Sei wieder froh. Da ist alles für dich da, da wirst du Dinge erleben, die sind wunderbar. Come on, downtown, so viel Gesichter, ho, downtown, so viele Lichter, ho, downtown, sie alle laden dich ein. Bist du allein, weil keine Blicke dich grüßen, dann geh in die Stadt. Downtown, bist du allein, weil keine Lippen dich küssen, dann geh in die Stadt. Downtown, vergiss im bunten Neonschein die Stunden deiner Sorgen und hör die Großstadtmelodie bis in den frühen Morgen. Sei wieder froh. Da ist alles für dich da, da wirst du Dinge erleben, die sind wunderbar, come on, downtown, so viel Gesichter, ho, downtown, so viele Lichter, ho, downtown, sie alle laden dich ein, downtown, downtown. Namen und irgendwo wirst du vielleicht mich dort sehen, wenn wir uns beide begegnen, das wäre schön.
Last Radio Live.
Last Radio Live, Keith Lake here. Have you ever done something that, in retrospect, you ask yourself, how could I possibly have been so stupid? Have you ever done anything that causes a great inconvenience to a great number of people, but you didn't really mean for it to happen? I had an incident like that happen back in the fall of 1980 that I'd like to relate to you now. This was one of those comedy of error things that you don't mean for it to get out of hand, but somehow it does, and you're left trying to explain it. Let me put this in perspective for you. This was back, as I said, in the fall of 1980. I had been living in Raleigh, North Carolina, during the summer of 1980, and that is a story unto itself I'll have to get into one day. Anyway, I had moved out and I was visiting my parents, and my father had made a batch of his famous Scuppernong grape homemade wine. This stuff was in great demand all over the county, let me tell you. So I figured it would be cool to go up to Raleigh and visit my former roommates and take a bottle of my father's homemade wine. Now, keep in mind, back then, I did not look as blue-collar, normal, regular guy like as I do now. I looked like a Hell's Angels reject. I had very long hair. I looked like the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, very long hair, and lots of denim and leather. I didn't own a motorcycle, but I did look like a Hell's Angels reject. So anyway, I got to the apartment complex in Raleigh about 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock. It was on towards sundown. And I pull up and I jump out of the car. I have a bottle of my father's homemade wine in a brown paper bag. That's a real inspiring picture there. But anyway, I was going to go up there to visit my roommates and we were going to have some fun. As I was walking into the apartment complex, there was this little kid out there on the front sidewalk playing with his toy trucks and whatnot. And as I walked by, he said, "Hey, mister, what you got there?" So this is one of those things where you wish you hadn't have said something. He asked me what I had there, and I told him, "Oh, wow, kid, this is a bong, and we're going to take it up there and light it up and get blowed away. Ha, ha, ha." And I went on up the stairs, but the kid misunderstood me. He thought I said bomb, as in boom, you know, explosive device, and he goes and tells his mother. Anyway, I wasn't aware of any of this. So about an hour later, we were up in the apartment having a good time talking about old times and feeling no pain when there comes a knock at the door. And my friend Gail gets up to answer the door and she immediately flips out because there's three policemen standing out there with their guns drawn. Their guns are out. And the first thing that she thinks it is that her younger son, who was 15 at the time, has gotten into some kind of terrible trouble. And this was entirely unexpected. She asked him, "Can I help you?" And the policeman said, "Well, ma'am, we received a report that there was somebody seen entering these premises carrying what he claimed to be an explosive device." Well, once Gail learned that her son was in no trouble, she told the officer, "Well, you know, I've been here all evening, and if anybody had come into the apartment here with a explosive device of any kind, I think I'd know about it." It's funny how, at this point, I still hadn't figured out what was going on. Anyway, the same policeman, with his hand on his gun was out of the holster. It was, you know, they were on high alert. He said, "Ma'am, we received a report from the lady downstairs. Her son said he saw somebody enter these premises carrying what he claimed was an explosive device." Suddenly a little light went on over my head, and I look over there at the half-empty bottle of wine, and I think, "Oh, shit, I have messed up now." So I spoke up then. I said, "Officer, that was what I was carrying when I came into place here. As you can see, it is not an explosive device." And I thought that would be the end of it. Boy, was I wrong. The officer said, "Son, I think you better come with us." And I'm really getting scared now. I'm getting these mental pictures of jail doors slamming, and I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to tell my parents? Oh my God, I'm in the deep doo-doo now. And anyway, I went on out there with him. They didn't handcuff me. They did not put me under arrest, which was kind of surprising. I followed him out into the front parking lot of the apartment complex, and it was astounding. It was like walking out onto a stage. There was like four or five cop cars out there, all of them with their blue lights on, headlights on, kind of forming a semicircle in front of the apartment complex there. They had evacuated the entire frickin' apartment complex, something like 8 or 9 buildings. There's people out there in their bathrobes and their pajamas, and it was kind of chilly, and they're fussing about what's going on here. What in the world's going on here? Somebody trying to make trouble. And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, as I came out of the apartment, that same little snot-nosed kid that started all this in the first place, he starts jumping up and down. There he is! There he is! That's the one! Oh, God. And when he said that, I heard something go up in the trees. They had guys from the Raleigh SWAT team. Yes, the SWAT team. Up in the trees on deer stands with these really ugly-looking rifles. And I'm pretty sure that if I had, like, bolted and ran, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now. They actually had the SWAT team called out over a bottle of wine. Now, I know original problem was with the misunderstanding between me and the little kid, but I think that was overreacting a little bit, especially since this was like something like 20 years, 25 years even, I think, before the 9/11 thing. Anyway, I sat in the police car and talked with the officers for a while. They did not take me downtown. I was expecting that. I was expecting them to take me downtown, and I was going to have to call my parents and explain this, and of course, they would be none too happy about it. They did not take me downtown, but they gave me a little lecture about being more careful what I say to people, and let me out of the car and told the people that they could go back into their apartments. And I thought that everything was cool then, so I went back into the apartment and finished the rest of that bottle of wine. You know, my nerves were completely jangled. I was, like, wired, shaking. I was freaked out over this thing. I did not understand or did not realize what I had caused to happen until I walked outside there. As it turned out, the police in Raleigh were kind of on edge about that kind of thing, because just about a week earlier, they had discovered a fellow at NC State University up in one of the dorms there, and somehow or another, he had come into possession of about 3 or 4 pounds of plastic explosive. Now, if you know anything about explosive, you know that's some dangerous stuff. With 3 or 4 pounds of, I believe it's called C4 or Semtex or something like that. Anyway, with 3 or 4 pounds of that, you can do some major serious damage to a structure. So I suppose that was the reason why the police were kind of on the alert for such things. Anyway, the moral of the story is don't talk junk to little kids playing with dump trucks on the sidewalk, especially if you have very long hair and look like a Hell's Angels reject.
Mental health matters.
Last Radio Live.
Does anybody out there remember CB radio? There was a time in the early 70s, I'd say between 71 and 75, when CB radio was kind of fun. It had not yet attained fad status. That would come later with that awful song about the truckers and the convoy and all that garbage. In those pre-internet days, back when I was in high school, before I had my driver's license, my CB radio was my method of communication with the outside world, much the same way this podcast and webcast are today. You have to understand, this was all strictly analog. We didn't know anything about digital. Digital to us meant those alarm clocks with the little flip card numbers that were in people's offices and bedside tables back then. But anyway, we formed it up as sort of a party line that didn't involve the telephone. CB radio was kind of fun because my high school gang, my clique, as it were, we sort of formed a loosely organized CB radio club, and we staked out Channel 23 as our stomping grounds. Keep in mind that back then there were only 23 channels in the CB band. The 40 channels would come later. But we used to have the best fun, the biggest fun, just sitting there, sitting around running our mouths until all hours of the day or night, because we didn't have our driver's licenses yet. We couldn't really leave the house. So CB radio was a lifesaver, much the same way the internet and chat channels and such are for me today in 2005. Keep in mind we're talking about 1973 or 74 here. I had a movable beam antenna outside the house here on about a 60-foot tower. Maybe it was 65. Anyway, it was a five-element beam antenna, which, for the technically uninitiated of you out there, means that it focused the signal in one direction. We could, I could aim the signal in different directions, and it would also pick up in sensitivity in the same direction. So we had directional signals, and of course we had those amplifier things. Everybody had one of those. Nobody wanted to admit it because they were illegal. There were stories of the FCC shutting us down if they ever caught us running one of those what they call linear amplifiers or foot warmers. And indeed, some of them should have been shut down because there were guys out there running 1,000 watts up the cable to the antenna, and God only knows what kind of effective radiated power they had. I figured it out that with my rig, I had a 100-watt amplifier attached to my CB radio, and me and a friend figured it out. I was putting out 2,000 watts effective radiated power out of the front of that beam antenna. And I used to talk to people all over the USA. I talked to people in Canada. I talked to people in California from my position here in eastern North Carolina. And it was great fun. Somehow or another, the internet just doesn't quite match up, because everything that goes through the internet, for the most part, goes through wires. This was back in the days when we had to rely on signals sent through the atmosphere. Most of their entertainment comes to them through a wire. Cable TV is already there, and we're going to have subscription radio soon. But I'm wandering off my original point here. I'm digressing all over the place. When you're 14 years old and you really can't leave the house, and it's Saturday night and all the good movies have gone off the TV, it's kind of fun to have something to communicate with the outside world in. Of course, we had to talk in that stupid CB lingo, 10-4, good buddy, Roger Dodger, breaker breaker, and all that crap. But it was very much fun in its own way. Then the bottom fell out of the market about the time the CB fad peaked in the energy crisis years of 1973 and 74. suddenly everybody had a CB. Everybody and his cousins and anybody he's ever been related to had a CB radio. The fun kind of went out of it. We were kind of an exclusive gang unto ourselves. We commandeered Channel 23, occasionally venturing to talk junk to other people on other channels. Like, for example, Farmville had Channel 4, Aiden and Grifton had Channel 10, and the people in Greenville, which is about 10 miles up the road here, had Channel 15. We were way down on Channel 23. And we would sit around night after night, four or five or six of us, including one girl that had a honey of a voice. I mean, the sexiest voice you can ever imagine. I do not understand why this woman never went into radio, because she would have made millions. Hell, she probably did go into radio later on, and I don't know about it. But anyhow, that's how we kept sane during those years. All of us were sort of the weird kids in high school. We weren't part of the Student Government Association. We weren't in the marching band or the athletic teams. But we had our own little gang there. And we communicated with people at the other high schools in the county, which often ended up meaning that we knew more about what was going on in the other high schools than we knew about our own. Here's one thing I don't understand. When the fad started, when the trucking thing got started in the energy crisis of 1973 and 74, everybody wanted to talk on Channel 19, which often meant that Channel 19 was just a big roar of signals, everybody talking over top of each other, and you couldn't really have a decent conversation on Channel 19. But everybody wanted to say, Breaker 19, Breaker 19. I guess this was a cultural phenomenon that was started by the truckers. Before the fad broke open, Channel 19 was the trucker's channel, and I would occasionally talk to a trucker that was passing through on the highway a couple of miles away. They were interesting fellows, and they had a lot of stories to tell. But when the romance of the rogue trucker thing, you know, the Smokey and the Bandit thing, the convoy thing, busted it wide open, everybody wanted to talk on Channel 19. And about the same time, the FCC decided to allocate 40 channels, open up 18 more channels for a total of 40. And that is the precise moment at which the CB fad flamed out. Suddenly, people were into other things. It was the 70s, so they were probably into disco and snorting cocaine and all that jazz. You know, we did that kind of stuff back in the 70s. But all of a sudden, the manufacturers found themselves with warehouses full of unsold CB radios and no market for them, because I think about that time, maybe a couple of years later, cell phones started coming in. They were first introduced in Chicago, and then they spread to other cities, and now after 9/11, everybody has a cell phone. I don't leave the house without mine. But there was a time when my only method of communication in my car was a CB radio. I've toyed with the idea recently of buying another one and putting it in there just for shits and giggles, for old time's sake, but somehow it just doesn't seem worth the trouble. So anyway, that's my rumination on CB radio. May it rest in peace.
Last Radio Live.
I'm a Plymouth dealer, a dealing man. And right now I'm giving the best deal ever on that new Plymouth Barracuda.
Hey, man, the name of the Plymouth Fastback is the Barracuda.
I can't pronounce Barracuda.
Yeah, well, look, man, try this. Say back.
Back.
Ra.
Ra.
Coo.
Coo.
Da.
Da.
Now put it all together.
Baba, ra, ra, coo, coo, da, da.
Well, it ain't Barracuda, man, but I think we got a hit record.
Streets full of people, all alone. Roads full of houses, never home. Church full of singing, out of tune. Everyone's gone to the moon.
eyes full of sorrow never wet, hands full of money all in debt, sun coming out in the middle of June, everyone's gone to the moon. Long time ago, life had begun. Everyone went to the sun. Hearts full of motors, painted green. Mouths full of chocolate, covered cream. Arms that can only lift a spoon. Everyone's gone to the moon. Everyone's gone to the moon. Everyone's gone to the moon.
Okay, Last Radio Live, Everybody's Gone to the Moon. That song was playing on WABC in New York in 1965 when the big power blackout hit up there. You're listening to Last Radio Live, and my son Josh has just stopped by to pay us a visit. What's happening, man?
Nothing much. I just kind of wrecked my dad's car, almost.
Yes, we had a talk about that earlier, but actually he got off kind of easy. Only a headlight lens got cracked, and that should be easy to place. I can remember when I was about his same age, I was driving my parents' car out in the yard, and I ran into a tree and did a hell of a lot more damage and had a hell of a lot more damage done to myself afterwards. But we're not going to dwell on that now. Tell us, how is the football season shaping up?
Do you mean the season or our team?
Your team, what is the name of your team again?
Panthers.
The North Pitt Panthers. What do you think their prospects are? You're actually on the team. What do you think their prospects are? Are we looking at a winning season or what?
I hope we're going to have more wins this year. Last year they kind of weren't so good.
What's the main strengths of the team? What are their weaknesses? What do you have to work on before the first game?
I think if we got the lead out of our shoes and our minds set straight to winning, we would win. But not only that, it would be better if we could have everybody suited up, because we have something like 80 people out there.
80 people on the team?
80
or
plus. People don't even have... People go out there and just watch, because they don't even have helmets or shoulder pads, or just go out there and watch.
I've never heard of a football team with 80 players, man.
Well, this is just, you know, preseason, pre-cut.
Oh, so the cuts
have... It's going to be more around 30 here sooner or later.
The cuts haven't been made yet.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, you said that the coaches try to motivate. What are some of the motivational tactics that they employ, other than hollering at you?
They don't do as much hollering like you see in like the majors, you know. They miss a block or something, they make, you know, scream a whole lot. But our coaches are more worried about us, you know. They want us to do our job, and if we do our job, our team as a whole will do more of that one job.
So it's not about the team or the game, it's about the individual players.
Yeah. If each one of our players recognizes the fact that if you... To make a circle, each one of those people on the team has to conjoin. If one person doesn't like each other, leave that off the field.
Yeah. Leave all the personal stuff at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
When that white line stops and ends, that's where it all begins. Mm-hmm. That's where our coaches say.
A typical practice session, how does it start? What are the drills that you guys go through?
First, we stretch. Well, before that, we get there, and after that, we go, everybody eventually weighs in,
mm-hmm.
to measure how much you lose in water weight.
And I would imagine that with the heat being the way it is lately,
people usually average losing about 2 or 3 pounds a day.
You were telling me the other day how much water weight you had lost from purely sweating.
I was about 210.
You were
going in there.
210 going in.
I was about 206.3.
So you lost almost 4 pounds in just sweat.
Good 4 pounds.
Wow. So have
not only that, I probably burned a half a pound in fat, calories.
I can tell that since you started, you've lost weight and firmed up a little bit there. You know, we're talking to my son Josh here on Last Radio Live. Keith Lake, your sports commentator, such as it is.
I'm Josh Lake.
Yeah. Well,
I'm single.
Yeah. Yes. Ladies of the world, get in touch with the producers of this program, and he can we can set you up with him. He is
14, brown hair, green eyes.
We can see where your head's at, huh?
Yeah.
Have you gotten your game schedule yet?
Yeah.
Who is going to be your first opponent?
I don't know if these people know it, but I live in North Carolina. Uh-huh. I'm toward the coast.
Right.
And
Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah.
On the eastern side of I-95, if you want to get specific about it. But anyway, who is your first opponent?
Edgecombe County.
Southeast Edgecombe, okay. Yeah. That's just like the next county over.
Yeah.
Okay. What have you heard about them? What are their strengths and weaknesses?
Tell you the truth, this is my freshman year there at high school, and from what I've heard last year, they've got most of their returning players coming back, and I've heard that they're defensive and offensive line was about two times big as me. So they're at least 250 all the way down the line.
Formidable opponent, huh? What sort of strategy are you going to employ to make up for that size difference?
We have speed. I'm glad we do that because we have a lot of boys on our team that can seriously get on down the field. And
I've seen them, man. They run like jackrabbits, and they can change direction on a dime.
The only thing I think we have to worry about is their line. If we can stop their defensive line and get past their offensive line and want to win that game, we will win.
Okay. What's the date of that game?
The day we start school, which is Thursday.
That will be
in about
a week from today. Today, as we are recording this, it is August the 19th, so it'll be a week from today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So anybody in the Pitt County, Eastern North Carolina area, come on out and see the North Pitt Panthers, and they're going to be kicking ass and taking names, and I'm going to be right there in the stands. This has been Keith Lake for Last Radio Live Sports.
Last Radio Live.
Protect your teeth with daily exercise. For years he's eaten food he had to chew. He realized teeth had to work hard too. I scrape my teeth 10 times a day. No matter what I eat, I can't prevent decay. My dentist says, John, there's no doubt. You got rotten teeth, shall I knock them out? Cavity, thanks to dental surgery. Just get yourself the final touch. Let me tell you that a pair of dental castanets
from the album Back to 78. That's Grupo Sportivo, Real Teeth Are Out on Last Radio Live. That's just going to about do it for this edition of Last Radio Live. I'm Keith Lake, inviting you to check out the Last Radio Station webcast, which is available 24 hours a day. Oh, wait a minute, we have a phone call. I'll be home in a minute, dear. Like I said, that's going to about do it for this edition of Last Radio Live. I'm Keith Lake. See ya.